Well, it's a new year, so I thought it was a good time to reflect back on 21 and talk about his faithfulness. So, this is an interactive sermon time, like I like to do. So, how have you seen God faithful in your life or other people's lives in the past year? I'll give you a few minutes to kind of think about that. My son will be around with a mic if you have something to share. But I wanted to read Romans 8, 28 through 39. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he may be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Jesus, Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to the slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, or anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. So I've found that just spoke volumes to his faithfulness to us. So a couple things in my own life, my family's life, that from 21 that I found God's faithfulness in as I reflected back. I continue to be at a wonderful job that I love. And that's been questioned, really, if that job would still be there for me through this weird time in our history. Watching my family and children continue to grow and follow Jesus. Mark 10, 13 through 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never receive it." And he took the children in his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them. So just a couple things that stood out to me about this past year. My oldest created a prayer list to help him pray more specifically. My youngest asked Jesus into her heart. That's a good year. That's a good year. New life. We prayed about this, but new life with my niece, Abby. Another niece on Keisha's side is expecting here in January. Two marriages this fall, both niece and a nephew. Rebecca Leary got married, and Isaac got married. I have a couple more nieces and nephews because of that. And I've got two more weddings coming up this year. So reflecting back, those are some of the things that I saw God faithful in 2021. So now I'll give you the opportunity. How have you seen God faithful in 2021?
I've seen God faithful a lot this year. A couple of the ways I can think of is I was able to work at camp again this summer. So just the fact that camp was able to happen and like function fairly normally, and that I was able to get off 2 months from my job to do that, and that God gave me strength to get through summer, because it was a great summer, but it was also very hard, and I would not have made it out without him. So I'm very thankful for that. I have a new job than what I started 2021 with, and it's a lot better, so that's really good. I'm thankful for that. And then also just like, I had 7 or 8 youth graduate from youth group this year, and to see them not just like go off and like, oh, we're out of youth group, but to like still keep meeting on Tuesday nights and make that a priority and like have a young adults group is really cool to see like God's faithfulness like in their lives. Like they're still figuring it out, and they and even it's like, oh, there's only 2 people tonight, like they still keep meeting, and it's really cool to see like God, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but it's really cool to see them being faithful to God in that and just making that a priority.
Thanks, Emma.
You mentioned Romans 8:28. Somebody quoted that to me lately, and it kind of rang hollow for me, because and granted, I judged him to have an easy life compared to some of the things I've dealt with, so I don't know what he was really trying to say, and I should talk to him more about it. Sometimes that's hard to swallow when it feels like hell on earth. But that's still truth. Romans 8:28 is true. Everything, somehow, can work for God's glory. I don't understand that. I've had to swallow hard on a lot of things and just give it up to God. I don't get it. So he is still faithful even when I can't understand it. Romans 8:28 is great when everything's going good. I could see that. That makes a lot of sense. When it's hell on earth, in my perspective, I don't know. I don't see clearly, but sometimes it feels like that. When everything's we're perceived, my perception is that. And I don't understand what's going on. Romans 8:28 is hard. But it's true. God's word is true. He can be glorified even in my struggles, in my losses, in my pain, in my suffering. Matter of fact, he's even more so somehow if I submit to him and his will. And I'm just, in some ways, at 50, what am I, 4, 53, I don't know. At this point, you'd think I would grasp this better by now. But I'm still learning that, and I'm still learning ways to acknowledge he is God. That is true whether hell reigns on earth or not. He is God. He's coming back. I'm looking forward to that more and more. looking at my parents, my wife's parents, they're headed towards, you know, we're headed to more struggle, more frustration, more unknown. And that's just the way life is. Romans 8:28 is still true. And we're looking forward to seeing how some of this stuff, and maybe sometimes we never see how it all works out. But we, with faith, with those, like in Hebrews 11, it talks about those that had faith and never recognized the outcome, but they still were obedient in faith. They believed, and they were accredited to being righteous before God. And that's what I'm striving to do, and what God is just revealing, that I can have a certain level of righteousness, even though it seems bad in my eyes, or it's hard to see the good, even though it could be coming. God can make it good. And I'm just still learning a lot of these basic things, new ways. Also, what I'm learning is, I don't want to take too much time, but so I've argued that I'm not a good planner. I'm not a visionary. In a lot of ways, this church has suffered because of that. I've been put in a leadership position and have not, in my own eyes, done well. I see a lot of places where I could have maybe did more, and I've made excuses, like put other things first and whatever. But I'm just understanding that being a visionary is not a gift of God. It's not one of his giftings. What his giftings are, and we can go through the list and argue about which ones are and aren't on the list, but being a visionary is not. I'm learning that. And so that if I've made an excuse because I fly by the seat of my pants, I don't plan well, and that's just who I am, that's weak. You know, God is revealing that to me. And so so with the new year and thinking about the future and, you know, resolutions and plans for the future, it's not something I do well, but I can do better at it. And I want to do better for this church, for myself, my family. So I intend to endeavor to be more disciplined, whatever that takes, less of me, more of submitting to God. And so I'm just learning that. That's a new thing that I hope to be able to submit to God and hear his voice more clearly as I just submit more time to that. Try to focus more clearly on what he's saying for the future. And it's a challenge. Like I say, it doesn't come naturally for me. So if you could pray for me. But that I'm excited about it. He has a future and a hope for us, for my family, for this church. I believe that. So I'm looking forward to that. And that's what's... So looking back or looking forward, I'm excited of the future. I guess that's it.
Thanks, Kevin.
I'm thinking back, okay, farther than a year, Lois Ismert's son, oh boy, he went to school, Alan Ismert, went to school with my brother Dallas, a year older than me. They grew up on Clearview. So, okay, I'm going way back. We played football in the backyard. We played football down between our house and the chiropractor, Dr. Majors. We played baseball. His father was a coach almost, the referee, an umpire for us. His father loved sports. So Al Ismert came into town back when I was about 60 years old and 61. And that was about the age he was hitting 62, which they say, okay, maybe some want to take their retirement, their Social Security benefit. He asked me what I was doing, what I was planning. He said, read a book. It's not a Christian book. Get what's yours with Social Security. Our benefit between the ages of 62 to 70 grows 8% per year till our 70th birthday. I'm about 22 months away from my 70th birthday, kind of counting the days. So I read the book. It said if you're healthy, there's longevity in your family, you might consider working while you're healthy and not really taking the benefit, let the benefit grow. People say, yeah, it takes you to your 85 to get that money back. Oh, well, that's the other argument. Then when COVID hit, so many people suffered. We weep with those who weep. We rejoice with those who rejoice. So many lost parents and parents, yeah, old and young. People in their middle of their life suffocating and not being able to breathe and passing away with COVID. And then the government kicked in and said, I'm going to give government stimulus money. My boss came to me and said, I have this government money. I'd be able to pay you if you'd go on payroll. The Social Security takes your highest 40 quarters of your life. 40 quarters would be 10 years of your life. In the last 2 years, I've been making more financially than I ever have in my life. They put me on payroll. I said, do you want to keep me on payroll? When the government money ran out, 10, 12, 15 weeks later, I understood he could pay me with government money. It made financial sense. So I went on payroll. I've been self-employed most of my life. So now here I am. That's one of the things the book on Social Security mentioned. They said maybe in your older years you'll be making more money than you ever have in your life. It'll actually bump up your Social Security benefit. Well, that's what God did. He engineered it. Why? Why does Romans 8:28 sometimes make sense and sometimes we have to live it by faith? I mean, it's like, God, all these pieces of the puzzle falling in place for me. You know, it's like, things have never been better for me than since COVID hit. I mean, so I'm rejoicing with myself and my family and the blessings God's pouring on me, but I weep and I hurt for those that are suffering. So I know we should weep and we should rejoice, and those that are sick should call for the elders of the church to lay hands on them and pray for them, and the prayer of faith will raise them up, and sometimes it doesn't. And then we say, God causes all things to work together. It doesn't say all things are good. He said God causes all things to work together for good to them that love him. And I've been blessed the last few years being not self-employed. I have a little extra time on my hands reading through the Bible. That's been a blessing. I started Genesis yesterday, Genesis 3 to 6 today. And when Methuselah was 62 years old, he had a son. And I'm thinking, what? He waited till he was 62 years old. I'm reading of all these patriarchs. And when this one was 82 years old, he had a son. And I'm thinking, okay, some of this stuff doesn't make sense to me. Like, how could, okay. So, and I'm thinking they started reproducing and filling the earth like God wanted them to, and then finally Adam and Eve had a third son, and I'm thinking, well, where did all the girls come from? So there's a lot we don't know, and God's got that all down. But here I am reading, starting Matthew. I read a little in the New Testament, a little in the Old, with the daily bread plan. So that's been a blessing in my life, having extra time on my hands, not being self-employed. And then I've never been a morning person. Titus Kaufman always pushed us. You should get up in the morning. That's the time. That is the time that God set aside. It's in his word. You see how Jesus got up in the morning. He went out to a mountain. He went out to talk to his father. Well, yeah, some nights he told the disciples to get in the boat, and then at night he went out to the mountain. I'm like, I don't think it's mornings only. I'm not a morning person. I started working with David Schmidt's uncles, Mel and Al, and they want me on the job by 7:15. That was a challenge. Whew. That was early for me. My dad and I went to West Alden Kitchen. We'd leave West Alden Kitchen around 8:30 in the morning after our coffee and get on the job by 9. We're remodeling people's houses. You don't get in there at 7:15 in the morning when you're remodeling people's houses. So here, 4:00 in the morning rolls around this past couple years, and I get up, and this old 68-year-old body is achy and sore, and I'm like, really? I'm going to work again today. But it's a challenge. It's a challenge, and I feel the pain, but I get moving, and God's given me health. Yeah, I have not. My wife and I have not had COVID the past year, the past 2-3 years. So I'm counting my blessings, but I'm also don't want to be insensitive to people that are hurting. People that are hurting. And I know Kevin's in-laws are hurting. June, Kevin's mother-in-law, she's an amazing woman. I would like to let her life be an example to me. I know his father-in-law is hurting, Kevin's father-in-law, and I know my mom and dad are going through difficult times of the aging process right now. So that's another thing this past year. I'm going to share it because it's more current. My boss says, you ever consider working 10-hour days? I'm thinking, Valdi, do you know how sore I am at 4:00 in the morning when I get up? How I'm pushing this old body? I don't tell him. He says, Darwin, you'll be going till you're 90. You are the most healthy old man I know. You're the hardest working man I know on our payroll, and you're the oldest one. I mean, he praises me like that. But he says, you want to work a 10-hour day, 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday? That frees me up to spend some time with my dad on Friday. My mom likes to get her hair done, and so that's been a blessing to spend time with my dad.
Thanks, Darwin. Some other things that I labeled a little differently. And his faithfulness is still in this, but I labeled it as things in 2021 that brought me joy. I was blessed with a lot of family time in 2021. Immediate, the 6 of us, and extended. With extended, more time than I ever imagined with my brother. But that's because he had cancer. I was able to be a camp pastor at Beaver Camp this past summer, and that was a joy. I had the opportunity to coach basketball last February in East Aurora. I had the opportunity to run with them again just a couple weeks ago. The coach invited me back just to practice with them for a day, and that was a joy. And I've had the opportunity for maybe the last 8 weeks to play basketball myself with other adults. And basketball brings me a lot of joy. And then something that was extremely difficult physically, but is easily a highlight of my 2021 was I got to hike a high peak with Dale Myers. And man, that was exhausting, but that was one beautiful view. In Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. And I love nature. I need to spend more time in it. I don't know if I'll become a high peak hiker on a regular basis like Dale has, but I'm so glad he invited me on that trip to be part of God's creation. To see those views. Anybody else with faithfulness of 2021 or joys? And I do really appreciate both Kevin and Darwin, you know, talking about the hardships too. Every year it seems there's a lot of hardships that are involved with each year. Somehow God uses those hardships for his glory, for his good, even though they don't feel good to us. Well, if there's no one else, I wanted to end with a prayer of blessing. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Trey's got something. Thanks, Trey.
Okay. I've been really touched by 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10 this year. Was trying to remember it, but I had to look it up. Hang on, I lost my page. It was our theme verse at Camp Hickory Hill for the staff, and I've just been learning that I can't do it on my own, and I need God's strength. So 2 Corinthians 12, 9. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So I guess that's been a verse to show me how I can rely on God's faithfulness and just the joy of the Lord is my strength, so that's brought me joy too. I think that's all.
Thanks, Trey. All right, I will close with this prayer of blessing for 2021. This is Romans 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.